Mick and MG in the morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.
Las Vegas is officially a rugby league town.
Go Broncos!
Go Broncos!
All four teams playing in the NRL's historic doubleheader have now arrived in America's Party Central.
Oh, well, mate, well, I think we're all Aussies, mate. We're going over there for a reason, and yes, we will be playing up on the trip.
There it is. That's a warning. First shots fired as everyone descends on Vegas for this historic occasion. I've got to say, I'm getting a little bit excited about it.
Yeah.
Myself, all four teams on the ground. Can I say, what will the teams be feeling, MG? You've toured with touring parties, with overseas, with the Kangaroos, and all that. What's going on? What are they thinking?
I think the first thing, the emotion that comes towards them, Mickey, will be excitement. I mean, groundbreaking playing in Las Vegas for this has been a long time, spoken about, and all of a sudden we're there, two sleeps until we see it. I think they'll be very excited. I think they're going to have to get used to a little bit smaller field. It's about six or 7 metres skinnier than a normal rugby league field, so, and maybe a couple of metres shorter in length, but that won't affect the players. They'll still be out there, and I just hope we have a really good crowd. They're expecting 35,000 upwards, so if they get over 30,000, it's a great job.
And are they, what type of game style will be played? Do you reckon they'll have a crack? Are they aware that this is a showcase event, that the eyes of the world are upon them? Do you reckon there'll be enough adrenaline pumping that it's going to be a fast, furious brand of the game?
Yeah, intriguing to say, to think that. Will they come out firing and aggressive? And, the young Spencer Lenu, who went from Penrith to the Roosters, I expect him to come out and breathe fire. The forwards for the South Sydney and Manly game in the first game, I think they'll breathe fire. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think there will be some thunder. I hope there's some thunder, because that's what the Americans want to see.
Well, let's keep all the thunder on the pitch and not off the pitch. I noticed last night, we on the front bar where this came up, but the police commissioner, one of the senior chief police commissioners, has personally given out his mobile number to all the NRL players and said, if you get into any situations or anything at all, you call me directly. And as I said, I hope he's got call waiting. It'll be 3 o'clock in the morning and get a dick pic. I hope it doesn't come to that.
Commissioner.
And which game, mate, is the one for you? Or is they're both going to be...
Yes, both mouth-watering. I don't think we can separate them. Manly and South Sydney, 1:30 Australian time, and then straight after that, the Roosters, the new look Roosters, taking on the Broncos, who obviously are going to be thereabouts this year.
Journalists are already on the ground. We've got journalist boots on the ground in Vegas. Natasha Belling didn't want to go, couldn't make it. What are you doing? Too important here.
I pitched it and you guys wouldn't approve my travel.
What's happening over there? I heard a story with journalists. Are their lives in danger?
Two journalists, separate incidents in LA. They were covering it before the guys fly to Vegas. And there was one journo that was actually confronted with a knife-wielding guy and thought that they were fearing for their life. And there was another incident where both the reporter and TV crew feared for their lives when they were actually rammed by three cars when they were trying to do a late-night job. They're all okay.
Oh, jeez.
But pretty... They thought the footballers were bad. These were two separate incidents with the robbers.
We can afford a couple of journalists, but as long as they're leaving their players alone, I don't see the issues.
Play on.
The turf has been laid. The stage has been set. This is the start of a 5-year investment by the forward-thinking NRL hierarchy, who would be to be commended.
Yes.
For getting this off the ground. Let's hope it goes off beautifully. Very excited.
Let's go,
about
baby.
The whole thing. Let's get it on like a ding dong.
Oh, it's a big weekend over in Vegas, but also a massive weekend here in Sydney for Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
This is a celebration of modern Australia. We're a diverse, inclusive Australia, and that's a good thing.
You got that right, Albo, who, of course, has been on board with the Mardi Gras for quite some years, and it's going to go bonkers.
Oh, yeah.
This town is tailor-made for a rip-roaring party, and there's no bigger party than the Mardi Gras, which is an important event and has been for many years. But at this pointy end, when this well, when the parade gets fired up. The pitches, of course, will be famously beamed all around the world. Our producer Owen's all over it. Owen, what are we expecting? How's this one shaping up compared to previous years? And what do we need to keep our eye out for over the weekend?
So it is looking good. So it is obviously, last year was World Pride, which was a massive event.
Massive,
so there's a little bit of hangover from World Pride, but it still
what?
Will be, it's going to be a great party, any excuse to party. There's going to be 200 floats, around 12,000 people marching down Oxford Street. It is back on the street like it was last year. It's not in the stadiums when we had, obviously, the COVID and stuff like that. And the after Adam Lambert is the headlining coming.
And how do you feel about that? I mean, in previous years, we've obviously, Kylie Minogue will be turning up at some stage, I'm suggesting.
Well, obviously, so Kylie Minogue was here last year for World Pride, and of course she brought out Danny Minogue. I was there, front and centre.
Yeah.
It was
All right, calm down.
But yeah, honestly, a bit underwhelming with Adam Lambert, personally. Tickets are So the after party, so the parade is 7:30 till 11.
Yes.
And then the
yes.
after party starts at 10 p.m. right until 8 a.m. is
oh
when the after party
goodness.
Goes. Normally,
8 a.m. That's an early finish.
Yeah, early finish. And then at 8 o'clock, you'll go to the next day club, obviously. No one goes home at 8. But normally, the after party is sold out. Like Kat was saying as well before, normally it's like gold getting tickets to that after party. Still tickets available for the after party on Saturday.
People will be thrilled about that because I remember my brother saying that there's a massive crowd that gets into the after party, but then to get into the area where they're actually performing is another line.
Yeah.
And so sometimes if you go to the toilet or go get a drink, you're out of that like actual performance space.
Yeah, you gotta wear you should wear a nappy.
Yeah.
Wear a nappy to
well that will make things difficult on at the party if you're wearing a nappy. But it is very exciting times. Yeah, it's back. Everything's up and about. Albo again will be marching. He was, I think it was last year, it's the first time a sitting prime minister has marched.
Yes.
Yeah, good on him.
And what's the latest with the police? Marching, I believe, but not in uniform.
Correct,
is that correct?
Yeah. So they overturned the decision to uninvite them, and they will be marching out of uniform. And of course, the parade will be led by the Dykes on Bikes, as is tradition. They're the ones that lead the parade.
Yes.
1978,
exactly. Yeah, and the 78ers as well. The original protesters was when it started. So it's exciting times. And even if you are a bit underwhelmed, I think it will still be a great time.
So we're going to see you Monday then. You won't be in Monday, I take it?
Well, yeah, it might be a bit slow on Monday. So to do
you'll
your
be
own.
In here in a nappy. Now, Tash, what do we need to know? I believe Qantas have organised something special for their float. What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. In, of course, memory and tribute to Luke Davies, there'll be a special mention at the start of their float for the former flight attendant, and there's also a memorial happening tonight for those two men.
All right, so as always, there's a lot going on, and it's on the surface, it's a great party, it's a banger, and people really love it. But underneath that, as everyone is aware, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot to ponder about the plight and where we are as a society and what's going on. So have fun, but have a think about the whole big picture while we're there. Good on you, Sydney. Have a cracker. Yes. Yeah, I was doing Front Bar last night, and it was such a great show. We had Mel Meninga on, of course, who's just a classic. But to talk with Kathy Freeman about the magical moment down there in Sydney, which was probably the high water mark of sport
in
Australia, the 2000 Olympics. And she's such a treasure. She's so well loved. And to be able to talk to her, she's humble and she's shy and she's amazing. One of the most important figures in the history of this country. And we had this remarkable moment where she actually talked us through that famous 400 meter run of hers in the final at Sydney. I'd never heard her talk through it before. And this is how it went down.
Let's go to the start line, the 400 metre final, Sydney 2000.
Okay, so I'm feeling calm here. I'm feeling strong. I've got to get out 30 minutes. I've got to make it as fast as I can. And then as soon as I get to the back straight, it's like Top Gear on a stationary bike. Your legs are turning over and there's no exertion. There's no real effort. So coasting. I'm feeling the other competitors. And it's feeling right. It's feeling okay. So 150 to go. I start working my upper body, pumping fists and working harder, digging into the ground. I'm waiting for someone to take it on, to throw it down. And at this point, I know no one's really that keen to want to win. And I just take off. And I feel carried by everyone.
Yeah!
I've actually got goosebumps. I've got goosebumps on my arms.
It's incredible to hear that, but how's just her, like, the tactics of going, I'm waiting. I'm looking for someone to take me on, and it's not happening. I'm just going to surge to the line. Her insight into what she was feeling, and we spoke to her too, and she said it's the immediate result was relief because of all the pressure. And secondly, disappointment because she didn't get a PB. I'm going, you idiot, what are you mean?
Competitive.
I said, you know, how is those competitive juices? Yeah. But what a special moment to be able to share with Kathy on last night's Front Bump.
MG's Sport Report.
Rugby league is back.
Deep into the crystal ball.
Ooh, yeah. I love this. It's a tradition here on the program. MG starts rubbing his forehead, circular emotions on his temple lobes, and off he goes. What are your big predictions? Can we start with your top eight?
Okay, let's go rifle through this. Penrith and Broncos, I think, will finish first and second again like they did last year. I think the Roosters will finish third. They finished seventh last year. I think South will be a big improver. They finished ninth last year. I predict them to come fourth. The Warriors, fifth. Storm, sixth.
Storm.
Yep, Manly, seventh. They come 12th last year, so they'll be another big one. And the Cowboys to round off the eight, which means I haven't got a place for Parramatta, Newcastle, Cronulla or Canberra in my top
eight. That's harsh. That is harsh. All right, bottom three. Who's the cellar dwellers, please?
I think everyone's bottom two are going across the land are Tigers and Dragons. I also think the Dolphins might struggle now that they have an aging pack. The Bromwich boys are getting older, and Kafusi's getting older, and they've just lost probably their best forward, Tom Gilbert, for the whole season. He's done his ACL, the poor bugger. So they're my bottom three, the Tigers, the Dragons, the Dolphins.
Who's on the ascent? Who's the big mover upwards?
Yeah, I think South and Manly, they'll both go up five places. I think South in particular, Jack Whiten, bolstering their back line, are going to be a real force this year. We'll see more footy of Latrell, hopefully. And, yeah, I think them two teams, Mickey.
And who's going the wrong way?
I think the Sharkies. I think the Sharkies, who finished sixth last year, I think they'll miss the eight just. But I've just I'm not sure about Newcastle again as well, but I could be wrong, but at the moment I think the Sharks will be the slider.
Who's going to have the breakout season? The player to watch, the one you think is going to turn heads?
Well, I think all eyes are going to be on young Bronson Sherry, who was out for 4 years for a doping ban. He comes back for the Bulldogs this season. He left when he was 19. He's back now at 23. All eyes will be on him. Will he be able to keep up with the boys after 4 years out? I think, look, it's going to be intriguing watching him this season.
That is a big story and one to watch. Your Dally M winner, please.
Nathan Cleary. I think Nathan Cleary will pick up his first Dally M medal and basically he'll star in Origin and finally be recognised as the best halfback in the land.
And I don't even know why I bother asking this, but I'm suggesting premieres then.
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, he's gone all in, the big fella. He's pushed in. There it is. Who can beat Penrith?
The Meat Man Wholesale Meats Narellan presents MG's Dad Jokes. Premium quality without the price. And awarded Best Butcher at the 2023 Small Business Awards.
Where did the chicken cross the road?
Three guys walk into a bar, right?
Knock, knock. Who's there?
MG's Dad Jokes.
Ran into a couple of punters in Newcastle who claim, hands down, this is their favourite segment on the show, which I thought was hurtful. all the original comedy we try and come up with and everything we do, give it a miss. Give us some dad jokes. And boy, was it on fire last week. Let's have a listen.
Mickey, did you hear about the pregnant bed bug?
No, I didn't.
She'll be having a baby in the spring.
Why don't boxers have sex before a fight?
I don't know. Why don't they have sex before a fight?
Because they don't like each other.
I hear about the celebrity who tried to stab someone. It was Reese
with a spoon?
No, with a knife.
I hear about the lady who tried to cut off a lover's penis and missed and cut his thigh.
Yeah.
She was charged with a misdemeanor.
And sadly, that was our winner.
It was.
Who missed a wiener? How's me nearly fumbling the Witherspoon, Jay? You need impeccable timing to get away with the Witherspoon.
Oh yeah,
joke. And I tell you what, the bar's been set pretty high. Oh, look at them already. The phones have lit up. Everyone wants to get on board. It's an undignified squabble to get on the wireless to enter MG's Dad Jokes. And here's why: the master. You got a couple for us?
I have. Both of my jokes today feature daughters. So my first one is, I recently bought my daughter a handbag from Iraq.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She said, thanks for the bag, Dad.
Oh.
That's up there with mine. Remember the one I did? The guys in Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but Abby Dabby Doo.
Abby Doo.
Yes. Did I win bastard. Anything? No.
Have a slab of the beer.
Jetty Road. What do you got?
My daughter was doing her history homework and asked me what I knew about Galileo.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he was a poor boy from a poor family.
Oh.
Galileo, Galileo.
And you do the fandango.
Bingo, thunderbolt lightning, very, very
funny. Yeah, when you have to explain them.
Yeah.
You'll notice I haven't said a word.
No.
I am shocked. I am. I back you in the dad joke department.
I know you do.
But
oh, dear.
See me in my office.
Wherever that is.
So if you think you can beat that, give us a call. $150 from the meat man, Llewellyn. And here we go. Get on the line. 133353. Sean, what do you got for us in the dad joke department?
Good morning, everyone. Did you hear about the guy who bought an Egyptian doorbell?
No.
It's really easy to use. You just toot and come in.
Oh.
Toot and come in.
Sean, we are off to a flyer. Thank you. Remember, you got to pick a winner here, big fella. Jeff.
Yep.
Dad joke, please.
What do you call two blokes sitting on a windowsill?
Don't know.
Kurt and Rod.
Kurt and Rod. It's close, but I don't think it's here. You're even on the podium at this point. Kevin, what do you got for us?
Girls?
Hello. What do you got?
Guy walks into the doctor and says, mate, I've been feeling like a pig. The doctor says, how long has this been going on for, mate? Oh, about a week.
Big laughs here in the studio, Kevin. Rick's on the line. Rick.
Little Billy ran up to his dad. He goes, Dad, why do they hang horses? His dad says, they don't hang horses. What makes you think they hang horses? He said, well, I just heard Mum tell Auntie June her new boss was hung like a horse.
Kids in the car, they won't know what's going on. There's a dad jokes has gone a bit ripe. I remember the old days when a dad joke was just a harmless bit of fun.
Yep.
Now that Auntie's telling the boss is hung like a... All right, Rick, you're in the hunt, I'm afraid. Karen, what about you?
Where do you take a sick horse?
I don't know. Where do you take a sick horse?
To hospital.
Oh.
Okay, block that caller. Block that caller. Still not. Brad, can you clean this up a bit? What do you got for us?
Morning, boys and ladies. So if a black bird had black babies and a blue bird had blue babies, what has no babies?
Don't know.
A swallow.
Oh.
Jeez. Jeez Louise.
Dump that. Quick, dump it.
Oh, no. Brad. Brad, what have you done? It was going along nicely. It's taking
it. Hey, made everyone laugh.
Oh, well, I know. Well, you're in the hunt. I said, the big fella's writing something down.
Yep.
So, you know. All right, Natalie, clean it up, please.
What hey, guys. What do you got? Okay, why can't Miss Piggy get to count to 70?
Why?
Because she gets to 69 and she's got a frog in her throat.
Oh,
oh my.
Oh, my Lord.
Give her the meat. Give her the meat. Give Natalie the meat.
Well, if she's going to do that, we don't need to.
Then Natalie's been rewarded.
Give her the meat.
Natalie, you've scored $150 to spend at the Meat Man Wholesale Meats in Irrelevant.
Natasha Belling's just outraged.
She's disgusted.
Did you just faint then, Tash?
Natalie's pretty funny, though. Well done, Natalie.
Well done, Nat.
Well done, Natalie.
And welcome, please, from our Melbourne studio, friend of the show, the great Marty Sheargold. How are you, Marty?
Good morning. Good morning, Sydney. Good morning, Kat, MG, Mick. It's always lovely to talk to you on a Friday.
Hello, we love it. It's a Friday tradition that's taken off, and you're much loved in this town. We were talking about Donald Trump earlier in the week, and he's got a list. You know, he always loves a feud. At the moment, it's Prince Harry. It was Rihanna. He's just got a list of them. And it got me thinking, do you have a list?
Yeah, it always starts, Mickey, with Rove. He's always at the top of my list of potential feuds.
Yeah. Rove, the much-loved family entertainer. How did Rove get on
your list? Hello to your mum for me. That was mine before he grabbed it. But it was in a different sense.
I did not understand that at all. So Rove, tick.
Tim Minchin always drives me mental because he refuses to wear shoes and won't take his eyeliner off.
I hate it when his mascara runs.
Oh,
you know,
wake up with panda eyes every morning, Mick. I feel like he's going to the walk of shame every time he leaves my front row.
And why does he not wear shoes, can I ask?
I don't know,
he's
Mick.
Earthing. He's earthing.
He's earthing. Good call, MG, actually. He probably is earthing. He was at the Mick and I just did some stand-up in Newcastle last weekend, and he was at the same venue as us the week before, Mick.
Was he?
And I could still smell him in the change rooms, the dirty little ponger.
Well, if I'd known that, I would have performed without any shoes on. That would have just... Now, MG's tribute. Got a list. Do you want to hear MG's
who's
list?
Who's on your list, MG?
Who's on your list, MG?
Marky Wahlberg's number one.
What happened there?
You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, doing another Brekkie show, he came in, was all excited, and noticed he had his right hand bandaged. I think it was so he didn't have to shake hands. And then as he was walking out, he kind of undone the bandage.
Right.
So as to say to his mind is, I got them.
It was a fake bandage, so he didn't have to shake hands.
Is he a germaphobe or is he just a straight up dead shit, MG?
I think the latter.
I think you're right. Have you seen his day on a plate? And by that I mean he gets up at 3:45 and starts his day.
That's when Jesus Christ. That's when
he's one of those blokes.
Yeah, but the other one...
It's very similar to my routine. Except it's the complete opposite. Going to bed at 5:30 a.m. and then
late breakfast.
Guy Sebastian's on my list as well.
He's got Guy Sebastian on the list.
Why is Guy on your list?
Because he had a run-in with an elderly neighbour. I just didn't like the way he handled it, you know. I thought that he was a bit hard on the old fella. That was all.
Yeah, that was an ongoing dispute between two neighbours. That was his big concrete palace that he built. I think it was in Maroubra, MJ.
Maroubra.
And he's one of those. He's not a bra boy, you know what I mean?
No, he's not.
He's not.
There's none of my brother's keeper going on down there at Guy's joint.
Do you know, Marty, you sometimes go on this program, and I do it a bit too. Have you been paying attention? Occasionally they'll cut out a joke for legal reasons. But this one was for taste. I did a joke once and it was the question was who has just released a song to raise awareness for the Bali Nine?
Right.
And I buzzed in with the correct answer, which was Guy Sebastian.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, and on hearing that he'd done this, the Bali Nine asked for their execution date to be moved forward. Which I thought was a...
It's a good joke, Mick.
A good joke.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It didn't make the cut.
They can be super sensitive, those guys.
They can indeed. Mind you, I've watched you on that show occasionally, and I thought, Marty was a bit light on tonight. And I'm going, I reckon there's probably 12 to 15 that haven't got through.
I've left a few on the editing room floor, Mick, no doubt. But they work real life.
What about Machine Gun Kelly? Do you like him, Marty?
I don't know much about him, but I don't like him. No. I don't like the whole upper body black ink that he's done recently.
What's your beef there, MG? Is it the tats?
It's a tats, and he's probably because he's taken out Megan Fox, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But I
would you ever get a tat, Marty?
Look, I've got Welcome to Jamaica, Have a Nice Day, which reads as Wendy at the trough. But if you can get me back to your place, you can see the whole tat.
I tried to do something similar on my penis, but the tattooist got writer's crab. No, if I was going to get a tat, I've said this before.
W on each cheek.
No, MG. A big bucket of Kentucky on my chest.
Oh, nice.
I just reckon that'd be a real chick magnet.
It's a real fun one, isn't it?
Finger licking good.
Absolutely, finger licking good.
What are you up to the weekend, mate? You got anything planned?
What am I doing this weekend? I'm on parenting duty this weekend. I'll tell the kids we'll do something. I'll tell them that early, sort of Friday, and then I will tell them again on Saturday that we're gearing up for something tomorrow, and then I'll cancel on the Sunday and say that Dad's a bit more tired than he thought he was. I'm going to have a nap. I'll see you guys through the week.
I'll see you Wednesday.
When I see the boys, they know I've had a big one when I say, bring your iPads.
That generally means
you get nothing out of me. Well, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you on the program, mate. And I wish we were doing shows together. I love it when
we get together. We've still got Darwin and Wollongong to do, Nicky.
Yeah.
All right. You've been warned. Thank you, Marty Sheargold.
Go you, Marty.
See you, gang. Have a lovely day.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the
f***? WTF?
There's a beetroot shortage.
What? Oh, no.
What the f***? Yes. A canned beetroot shortage. Coles and Woolworths have confirmed the shortage, prompting some Australians to declare a national emergency. How did it come to this?
How did it?
It's true. I've been trying. I love tinned beetroot and I couldn't find it for so many weeks. And apparently it's because an Australian manufacturer has now moved to New Zealand and they've got supply issues.
Why?
I'm going to go straight down to supermarkets like there's a Category 5 cyclone on the way and just scoop up every single tin. You know what I love is, you know when they advertise a burger and they go, it's an Aussie burger? It's like a normal burger, but it's got beetroot.
Beetroot
is it's part of our national dish. You can't have a shortage.
No.
This is a spill of all positions. This could bring a government down.
Yep.
No canned beetroot. You don't get my vote. That is off the charts. I just need the beetroot. All right. Well, what about you, MG? What have you got?
Well, there's a shit fight brewing on the Gold Coast, literally, because Surfers Paradise smells like a toilet and needs some tender love and care.
Now, you need to back that up with some cold, hard facts, mate.
Okay, Surfers Paradise has been told to clean up its act after business leaders were told the city smells like a toilet. Councillors had previously backed the $40 million revitalization, but the Division 10 candidate Mona Heckey said that it didn't go far enough and it smells like a toilet.
It's the price you pay for hosting schoolies week. You take the good.
There we go.
The bad. You know what they need? Massive urinal cakes.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like big ones, the size of a small car.
Yeah.
And they just throw them around liberally.
Yeah. Give every schoolie a Glen 20 can.
That's right. That's a standard operating procedure. Tash, what have you? Tash, yesterday you revealed you were frightened of Mr. Whippy Vans.
Yes, because it's childhood trauma I revealed.
Oh, there it is.
She's
in the fetal position.
My parents told me when we heard that sound, the ice cream truck was going by, but it had run out of ice cream.
Oh, then. No wonder. It says a lot about your childhood then.
All right, what do you got for us today?
A study has found grumpy dogs tend to be smarter.
What the
grumpy dogs?
How have they done this?
Do you want the details?
Yes, I'm not sure.
We're going to get them, I guess.
It's a study from Hungary that found grumpy dogs exhibit higher levels of social learning and persistence compared to the more cheerful counterparts. All I'm saying, Kat, is we have to deal with grumpy co-hosts, don't we?
Yes, which makes us more intelligent.
Very, very smart. Very intelligent.
We got that Mr. Whippy music there? there it is.
She's in a ball.
Cat, got one?
Yes, there's a new dating app for farmers living in remote places called Howdy.
Howdy, partner.
Yeah. Farmers wanting to find love.
Okay, who's on Howdy? Who's signing up for Howdy?
Well, it's remote.
Oh, you've done it, haven't you?
This
is how you found it.
Yeah, a vulnerable guy living in a, you know, a radius of 100,000 square metres without another human being. Yep, that's...
With no other options?
Yep, you've got a chance. Guys, I'm moving to Horsham.
Do you know what? All I can see on the Howdy app is people swiping right on guys that look like Bob Catter and Barnaby Joyce.
Yeah, wow.
You might be right.
All right, you get the idea. 133353 if you want to get involved. How much to give away?
$400 must go.
Oh, wow. Yes. Let's go out with a bang. Ben is on the line. What do you got for us, Ben?
G'day, Mick. Yeah, MG, Tosh, and Kat. Huge fan of the show. Got to love your work.
You're a good man, Ben. I tell you what, before you even. Hey, Ben.
You talk about Crackerjack.
What about Boys Town?
Ben. Yes,
Mick. What's that? Calm down, mate. Calm down. Now. Well, let's just unpack a bit here. You like Crackerjack? You're a Boy Town fan.
Oh, God, how good, mate. I've never seen somebody do rendition of a singer or dancer. It's best in my life.
Thank you. It's for those who are unaware, it's like a boy band who get together after many years and they start writing songs that are appropriate for women their own age. Yeah. Like really good songs about picking up the kids from school and all that stuff that middle-aged women find horny. And... There's a fair bit of himbo action on deck, myself, Glenn Robbins. And in some scenes we appear with jumpers tied around our necks.
Stop it.
Yeah. Sexy. Ben, straight off the bat, a slab of Jetty Road for you, Lager, for identifying one of the great hidden classics of modern cinema. Now.
Definitely. The cast and crew were just fantastic.
Okay, what else do you want?
All right, Ben, what have you got?
Yeah, I've got a tip for you. So Adolf Hitler's original birth name was Adolf Schickelgruber, not Adolf Hitler. He changed his name.
No, Ben, no. Oh. Adolf Schickelgruber. Look out, the Schickelgrubers are coming around for dinner.
Heil Schickelgruber.
Heil Am I getting a thumbs up?
Wow.
Oh, geez, they've
kept... It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
They've kept that well hidden. No, I'm not quite as fearful as Schickelberger.
No.
Was it Schickelberger? Schickelgruber.
Schickelgruber.
Hell of Hitler's real name was Adolf Schickelgruber. $200 to you, Ben.
Thank you.
Straight out of the blocks getting $200, and you can keep your slab of Jetty Road as well. Jason's on the line. Jason, what have you got, buddy?
Yeah, guys, in 1923, an American jockey, Frank Hayes, became the first jockey to ever win a horse race despite being dead. He died halfway through the race. He was able to stay on the horse, cross the line in first place at the odds of 20-1.
And won.
Wow.
And won.
How'd he die?
Heart attack.
Had a heart attack.
Oh, far out.
Wow. He's had a heart attack. That is a good story. Can I say that's, and we're getting the thumbs up, $200 to you too, Jason.
Wow. Oh, sweet. Thank you.
That, can I tell you, there's another story that we've told on our Sports Bazaar podcast, yes. I think, which is a ripper, where a guy in America was, again, if he fell off the horse, was declared dead. It was taken, it was quite a somber moment. They had a minute's silence on the track. He was taken to the morgue where he had to be certified by a doctor who pulled out the drawer and went, "This guy's not dead." He came around and he goes, "Jesus, get me back to the track. I'm racing in the last." And so the guy turned back up on track. And everyone's going, "Hang on, this guy's supposed to be dead."
Oh, wow.
And now he's back waving and rode, I think, a winner.
No way.
In the last, which
Unreal.
Is good.
Unreal.
And I think there's another occasion where a guy in, I think it was a casino in France, won a hand of blackjack when he sat and he shouldn't have, and he won this massive hand, and then it worked out he died during the hand, and so then they tried not to pay him out because they said he had died before he sat, which meant he wasn't going to call another card because he was dead.
Far out.
So anyway, yeah. Okay, Mick, you can have $200 too.
Yeah.
All right, that's all we've got time for today, but bang, what a great session that was. And I can't believe it, but Humdinger did not go off this morning despite one of the all-time great humming exhibitions.
Yeah, one of your best.
Clearly there was a simpleton on the deck. Here's how it all went down. Come on. Oh, Jason, come on. $200.
Too easy.
Oh, he's singing it.
Oh, he knows it.
He knows it.
That first beat, I kind of do. It's on the tip of your tongue.
Oh, Jason. He's got it. He's got close. Jason?
Is there anyone going to hear Jason?
I'm going to have to let it go. It's right.
He had it too.
He did. He knew this. He knew the tune. He just couldn't get the title of the song. So the good news is $400, is it not?
Monday.
In the meantime, though, over the weekend, if you're looking to relax and have a bit of a lie down and get in contact with your inner self, here's a new album we've released from the Humdinger label.
It's the end of another stressful week. Kids have driven you to the brink. Cost of living keeping you awake at night. Let the day melt away with the new Humdinger relaxation tape from Mick and MG Records. You'll be drifting off to sleep in no time to these soothing sounds. ASMR never sounded so calming. For a tranquilizing end to your day. Get your Humdinger relaxation tape now from Mick and MG Records. Although you may prefer a tranquilizer instead.
Yes, soothing. Very soothing.
Welcome to another wonderful week that was. Joe Biden said the key to his marriage was good sex.
Yeah, giddy up, Joey.
As if he'd remember.
No, well, get the name right. Jill. Jane. The president of Mexico. I know you're in the Oval Office, but we don't want to hear about you being in the Oval Office.
Will Anderson was talking about watching local sport at the park, and MG chimed in with some thoughts.
You're a voyeur. Is it a voyeur?
A voyeur? I mean, I'm not sure. That's what I...
Something sexual.
I like watching people.
Yeah.
I sit on a bench out front of our studios here and watch people for 3 hours walking past.
Okay. You've had a couple of opportunities to back out of this, and you've just gone...
I'm about to capsicum spray you.
And a priest was arrested for illegally selling Viagra from his home.
Is he offering it as like a blue communion wafer? I give you the boner of Christ.
Give me the body of Christ.
Apparently can sin for up to 3 hours.
Tash was away last week, so Mick and MG caught up on some stories she missed.
Scientists have successfully grown working testicles in a dish that could one day help solve male infertility.
Where do you keep your spare pen? In the fridge? What, do you name them? Is it like getting your appendix at the end of an operation? Do you put them in a jar and put them on your bedside table?
Well, MG has a list that you don't want to be on.
Mark Wahlberg didn't shake my hand when I met him. He had it bandaged, so he didn't have to do any handshaking. That was a little bit pretentious for mine. Obviously, Guy Sebastian's on the list because he had that argument with the old neighbour. Adam Levine cheated on his missus. Ryan Gosling closed down in Sydney for a friggin' movie.
And don't forget The Notebook.
What do you want?
Posties were voted the most sexy profession, and Mick did not agree.
They've got the canopy on the bike. Yep. The bike looks like pets from a fun park. And it's just this bright yellow... even dogs are refusing to chase them. Remember the movie The Postman Always Rings Twice?
Yes.
Imagine that ding-dong. Open it up and that guy's sitting there.
End of film.
Mick and Marty had a bit of fun at Sam Pang's expense last week.
I wouldn't watch Pangy if you paid me $100. He is terrible.
We don't listen when he's on, do we?
And somehow the audio was accidentally played to Sam Pang.
MG, did you win? I'm assuming that was been played this week.
It has, mate.
Yeah, did you defend me, MG?
Yeah, I did. I did. I said, how dare you? How dare you talk about Sammy when he's not here to defend himself?
He that sounds Sam. Like you just... Thank you, Kat.
That's the only that honesty sounded... meter in here. No, he did not.
So it's a pile-on, is it? Well done.
Mick dropped a bombshell on this show.
I've had an office romance.
Did you?
Yeah, with the pie warmer.
Who?
The pie warmer.
Oh, the machine.
The machine. Sorry. Oh, my God. I think there was a girl in the office called the pie warmer. That's my little pie warmer.
And finally, let's finish off on some of the more highbrow content on this program.
It's official. Men with small peckers have higher IQs, a global study reveals.
I knew I was dumb. I knew I was a borderline simpleton.
I've got an IQ of 16, so that's...
You must be hung like a horse. That's all I'm saying. I don't know, but if it's linked to intelligence, you must have an absolute monster downstairs.
And there it was, another wonderful week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M Sydney.
Mick and MG in the Morning, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.